Amen. Good morning. As I was walking up to the podium, I got a text for us to be in specific prayer for Rick Nine, who is in the ER right now. Not sure all of the details, but in a moment, we're going to pray for Rick and Cindy and pray specifically for God's hand to be on him. Actually, why don't we do that just right now? Lord God, we come to you right now, stopping what we're doing. God, approaching the throne room of grace, and Lord, we lift up our brother in Christ, Rick Nine. God, I'm not sure what's going on. We don't know all of the details, but God, we know you do. And I pray right now for he and Cindy and their family. We pray, Lord, for the doctor's hands, for wisdom, God, to understand how to best be able to serve him right now, how best to be able to help him. Lord, we just pray for safety on his family that may be traveling to the ER. And we just pray, Lord, that God, we know that you have this. That God, you are the great physician. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. We know that you will do that today and even in this moment. And we pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. If you were with us last week, we had an opportunity to hear from a brother in Christ, Edward Yee. And let me just say publicly, Edward, we are so proud of what God is doing in your life, and just so proud of the fact that you and Yolanda are part of our fellowship here. Edward proclaimed out of Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 6, and essentially it can be summed up in this way: walk in love. So if you're on Facebook, Edward, I'm sure, is watching right now on our live stream. You know, give him a heart, give him a thumbs up, let him know you appreciated that. I know the folks here in person certainly did. Walk in love. And this morning, it's going to continue in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. And Paul is going to say this to us. If we said walk in love last week, this week we're going to say these words: walk in light. As you flip there, read with me. If you're in person, the scripture will be right on your screen. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse number 7, says this: therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse number 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing unto the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. May God just richly bless us out of his word this morning. So starting in verse number 7, we see Paul's challenge for believers to live a life that is separate and different from the world. Now, don't get me wrong here. What Paul is not saying is that we as a church should have a holy huddle. We as a church should be us four and no more. We don't want those people outside inside. That's not what Paul is saying here. What he's saying here is that our life is to look different. We are to be salt and light in a dark world. But as we walk out our faith and as we walk into a dark world, we need to be ever so careful not to fall into darkness and sin ourselves. In verse 7, Paul says, do not become partners with them. That word partners really can be interpreted partakers. So essentially what he's saying here is, church, do not partake at the table of sin. Don't pull up a chair at the table of sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? You see, darkness and light, there's nothing ever more contrary, right? They're polar opposites. But Paul chooses to use this idea of darkness and light in these few verses to help us shape our view and understand what our life was like before Christ, and therefore what we're supposed to do with our life now after we are in Christ, once we have become saved and understand that Jesus is our Savior. So darkness. Read in verse number 8 with me. It says, "For at one time you were darkness." I love that he doesn't say at one time you lived in darkness or at one time you liked the things of darkness. But no, Paul says at one time you were darkness. That word darkness is the Greek word skatos. And it truly can be interpreted darkness or blindness. But interestingly enough, it is the same word that is used in the Gospels. When Jesus hung on the cross and bore the sin of the world, it says in the sixth hour, darkness laid across the land. In that moment that God looked upon His Son and He saw Jesus bearing the sin of the world, God had to shield His eyes from the sin that Jesus bore. Darkness filled the land. We were once darkness because of our sin. This means that our life was characterized and led by darkness, that we were totally depraved, devoid of the Spirit of God. We were lost. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes this, that we were once dead. You may have heard that sermon a couple of months ago as we worked our way through the book of Ephesians. So apart from Jesus Christ in my life, the picture looks pretty bleak, right? I'm dead. I'm blind. I'm in darkness. I'm groping around haphazardly. I have no hope, no life, no light. I'm dead and in darkness. Keep reading with me in verse 8. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light." I call this one of the big buts of the Bible, right? But now you are light. We were once dead, but now we're alive. We were once in darkness, but now we have light. Don't miss what he says there in verse 8. "But we are light in the Lord." See, this light is not of our own merit. There's nothing light inside of ourselves. There's no good inside of us. We are light because Jesus is light. And He dwells inside of us as believers. John chapter 8 says it this way. You've heard this verse this morning. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, if God is light and we are children of God as redeemed believers, then shouldn't we bear a little bit of family resemblance, right? Shouldn't we look a little bit like our daddy, right? We are light in the Lord. Again, there's no light in us, but we reflect the light of God. It's kind of like what the moon does, right? Third grade science would teach us this, that the moon does not bear its own light. You know, we can look up at it and it looks like, man, it's bright, but the moon has no light in and of itself. It only reflects the light of the sun. Wow, what a metaphor, right? It only reflects the light of the sun. I'm reminded, 15 or 16 years ago, Kara and I went on a mission trip with our home church, and in that mission trip, we would share a devotion at every meal. And Kara one morning got up for breakfast and had her morning devotion. And her devotion was on this topic of light. So we are light, and we are to resemble God, and we are to shine our light for God, right? And in that, she used that idea of the moon. And she taught that, hey, the moon doesn't have light in of itself, that it only shines the light that is reflected on it, and we are to shine the light of Jesus, right? So she did that in the morning devotion, an awesome devotion, and then she left people with this marching order, right? So we always try, as we teach the Word of God, to give you something that you can take to the week. So her marching order, as we went out into the field to serve people, and went out into the field to love people on this mission trip, was, "All right, now, be the light, be the moon, go moon somebody." Whoa. Not a great thing to challenge when you have a group of teenagers on a mission trip and you tell them, hey, what I want you to do today is go moon somebody, right? Amen. Not a good thing to do. Luckily, I don't think we had any major issues that day, but you know what? It stuck with us, right? 15, 16 years later, we're still thinking about it today. You see, Paul knew that in Christ, we have light. We have light. Now look at what he says next. You have light? Now live that way. Now live that way. Walk as children of the light is what he says there in verse number 8. Everyone say, walk this way. If you're on Facebook, type right now, walk this way. See, light produces fruit, and nearly nothing grows in darkness. So you may ask of yourself, okay, if I'm supposed to walk in light, then Pastor, how am I supposed to walk in light? What does that mean to walk in light? Keep reading in verse number 9. I think he tells us. So walk as children of the light. Verse number 9 says, for the fruit of light, your version may say spirit, but it's best interpreted light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Good, right, and true. If we are walking in the light, then our actions and our attitudes are going to reflect, among many things, three important attributes of God: goodness, righteousness, and truth. See, we know goodness because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is an action. It is a well or a reservoir of Christ-like behavior pouring out of our lives so that others may see it. Goodness. Goodness. Righteousness is really this: right living. Right living. Not only before God, but before man. Right living. In Matthew chapter 5, it says it this way: in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Righteousness in our living before man. And what is the third thing that he says? If for the spirit of a light, the fruit of light, excuse me, is found in all of what is good, right, and true. True. See, truth is honesty. It's integrity. It's living out the Word of God because we know that God's Word is truth. So if you say, Pastor, how am I supposed to walk in the light? Then I would say, according to God's Word, we should walk in a way that is full of goodness, right? We should walk in a way that shows righteousness. And we should walk in a way that people understand that our actions point to truth. God's Word is truth. Another way to look at that is simply this: that goodness is what other people horizontally see of our life. That righteousness is my standing before God. It's the vertical relationship. And truth is in the inner core of my being. I'm living with integrity, personal integrity, truth. As Christians, we should walk different. We should talk different. We should look different than the world around us. And one of the difficulties in the church today, the capital C, the big church today, is that people from the outside look at people who are on the inside, and in some cases they say this: I don't need God because my life looks different. My life looks just as good as those who are coming to church. Why am I going to come to church? I'm a good person, right? So they look at life of people who proclaim that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then they say, well, I'm living just as good as them. Frankly, they may say, hey, my life looks even better than some of the folks who are coming to church every week. I don't need God. We have to walk different, talk different, live different than the culture around us. Folks, we have to be light. In our country, this aspect is going to become harder and harder for us as Christians, for us as the church. I believe that we are living in a day similar to what's described in Judges, where man did what was right in their own eyes, where everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. And we're quickly becoming a culture that says, don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Don't talk to me about truth. My truth is my truth. We're in a culture that rejects God, But I'm telling you, if we will live a life of righteousness, if we will live a life of goodness, if we will live a life of truth, then it is desirable. People are going to see that life and know that there's something different. This past Wednesday in our men's group, one of our brothers in Christ shared his testimony. And we've been doing this through the summer. Each man in that group is just sharing their story of salvation, how they came to know Jesus Christ. And Wednesday night, one of these men shared that he went to a church service. And after church, he was not saved, but people began to come up to him and greet him and talk to him. And he said, "Brothers, I knew that they had something that I did not have." And then he said this, "I knew I wanted it." He became saved because of the actions of godly people. He became saved because people lived a life of goodness, of righteousness, of truth. Like a moth to the flame, if we live a life of light. And as a church, if we will raise up the name of Jesus, He promises He will draw men unto Himself. Walk in the light. Continue to read with me in verse number 10. "And try to discern what is pleasing unto the Lord." See, there's intentionality behind this statement. I'm not just stumbling through life. I'm not just trying to make sense of it. I'm not just trying to fake it until I make it. No, that looks like someone who is walking in darkness. See, we are to walk in the light. I'm intentionally walking in a way that's trying to please God, serving Him to make His name known. That word discern really carries with it the words of testing or proving or learning. I need, as a man of God and as a woman of God, to test, to prove, to learn what pleases God. Scrutinizing my actions, my motivations, seeking out the will of God, and then trying to live out the will of God. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul speaks of pleasing God, and he says this, "For am I now trying to seek the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? For if I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." See, those two things are inexplicably separated. I cannot please man and then try to please God. So boy, I better try to please God. That's what Paul's saying there. We must live our lives in a way so that one day, when our life is over here on earth, one day we hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Try to discern what is pleasing unto God. Now read verse number 11. "Take no part of unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." I think it's important that we handle verse 10 and handle verse 11 together. I think it's a process, really a two-step process. First, we must seek to live our life in accordance to God's instructions. Seek to live our life in a way that pleases God. And then, and only then, expose the deeds of others. So many times we as Christians get this out of order. We go around making sure that everyone knows what is wrong with their life without letting the light of the gospel shine on my life first. There's no wonder that people outside of the faith call Christians hypocrites. There's no wonder that people outside of the faith call Christians two-faced. Now buckle up, because I got a hard one for you. When we are too busy trying to make sure everyone else knows that they have a one-way stamp ticket to hell, instead of trying to share the love of the gospel and try to prevent them from making the trip. Too often times we are too busy making sure everyone knows they have a one-way stamp ticket to hell, instead of trying to share the love of the gospel and help them prevent them from making the trip. Walk in light. Church, it starts with me. It starts with my life and making sure the light of the gospel shines in every dark corner. Eradicating the sin that so easily ensnares us. Pastor Patrick would say it this way, that we are either killing sin or sin is killing us. Folks, sin is serious. You may have heard it said before that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is serious. Sin hinders our ability to shine the light of Jesus. It's kind of like a set of headlights on an old car. You know, eventually over the years, that glass on those headlamps become cloudy. The glass on those headlamps become dirty. And you get to a point, church, where the light from that bulb barely shines through them. When that happens, what do you have to do? You got to put a little elbow grease to it. You got to be able to clean it off. You got to be able to wipe it off so that light will shine through. See, a dirty light is a dim light. And for a Christian, a dirty life is a dim life. You may be thinking, hey, this sounds impossible. How can I live this way? Let me tell you this, you in your own strength cannot. We cannot clean up ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. Through His finished work on the cross, we can be made right with God. Isaiah says it this way, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." There's that old hymn that says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Church, it has to start with me. Some of you know this, but prior to COVID-19, I'm a traveling sales rep. And I would fly most weeks, get on a plane, and almost have become immune to the safety instructions. As the steward or the stewardess, you know, shows us where the exits are, how to buckle our seat belts. But as I prepared this week, I thought about one piece of that safety instruction. It goes a little bit like this. Should the cabin experience sudden pressure loss, stay calm and listen to instructions from the crew. Oxygen masks will deploy from the compartment above your seat. Place that mask over your mouth and nose, pulling the strap to tighten it. Make sure that you secure your own mask before trying to help others. See, folks, that's what Paul is saying here, that the light of the gospel has to shine in my life, that I'm not going to do any good for someone else if I'm trying to help them put their mask, oxygen mask on, but then I'm falling down, passing out because I never took care of me. I have to let the light of the gospel shine for me first. See, that's what he's saying here. Try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord, taking no part in unfruitful works of darkness, doing everything that verse 10 in the front half of verse 11 says, and then, and only then, moving to the back half of verse 11 where it says this, but instead expose them. See, those unfruitful works of darkness that are in verse number 11, really, it means this, to not have fellowship with darkness. We must stand opposed to darkness and sin. Not to the individuals trapped in sin, but to sin itself. We must never participate in sinful practices. And as Christians, just because our culture, a court, or our government says something is okay, but it stands in contrast to the Word of God, then we must say no. We must never do it. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That word expose is a pretty hard word because you know what it means? Correct or rebuke. Now, I think that people can look at our lives and they can see something different, and God, through His Holy Spirit, can convict. Absolutely. But there is a place for us as men and women of God to speak hard truths, to be willing to put our job on the line, to be willing to put, just our friendships on the line, to be willing to say, hey, listen, I'm going to have to share this to you, and it's not pointing a finger of judgment, but it's pointing you to truth. See, Paul is not saying that we're some holy hall monitor. He's saying that as children of light, we're created and we are doing what we're created to do. What does light do? It exposes darkness. It distinguishes darkness. Don't believe me? You have a lamp, you turn it on, it doesn't work. Or you have a light bulb, you turn it on. What do you call a light bulb that doesn't produce light? It's trash. You throw it away. So men and women of God, we're called to expose darkness. And that purpose behind exposing is not to ridicule or to shame, but it's to bring a sinful man and sinful woman to the understanding of salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the goal. That is the purpose. That happens outside of the church, but I would submit to you that there's a place for that inside of the church. You know, it's pretty easy to hide things from each other, but if we get close enough to each other for longer periods of time, then guess what? We begin to see dark corners in our brothers and sisters' lives. That's why we believe in the DNA of discipleship and small group relational discipleship here at Harmony. It's kind of like this. You're sitting in your home on Saturday night and you see lights coming up the driveway. You didn't expect anyone, but you got company, right? You may have grown up in a house that did this, but all of a sudden you take what was messy in the living room and you throw it under the couch and you throw it into that back bedroom, and then you tell your kids, if you open that door, I'm going to kill you. If you ever were in a house like that, that was probably me. So then someone shows up and they stay for 15 minutes. Okay, so it's pretty easy to hide our mess, our junk, our stuff from someone for 15 minutes. But what if that was someone who was not showing up for 15 minutes, but that was someone who was going to stay for a week? Pretty hard to hide our mess, our junk, our stuff, because they're going to be close to us for a long period of time. You see, folks, discipleship works that way. When I walk alongside in relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm willing to speak hard truths into their life, and I'm willing to accept them to speak hard truths into my life, and they walk alongside of me for enough time, they're close enough to see where I hid some of my junk and expose it. Help us, God, to walk as children of light. To be holy, to be set apart, to live a life that reflects the light of Jesus. Dark corners. One of my favorite childhood songs is this song, This Little Light of Mine. You know that song? This little light of mine. What does it say? I'm going to let it shine, right? So this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, what truth that is for our church. That having the light of Jesus in our life, no matter if we're sitting in Edgemoor, South Carolina, or we're watching on YouTube around the United States, we are called to be people of light. And we are called to shine the light of the gospel in every dark place in our world today. The places where child abuse happens, shine the light. The places of sex trafficking, shine the light. Systematic oppression, shine the light. Slavery, shine the light. Standing up for the unborn, shine the light. We must be the light. We must be the light. I heard a story one time of a young girl who, back in the early 1900s, it was winter, and she walked down the main street of an unnamed city in the United States. In shivering cold, she made her way to a building that she saw was lit up. And in that building, that was a church. She could hear the music playing, so she made her way through the back of the church and sit right there on the back pew. She warmed herself and she listened to the pastor as he spoke and preach the message that says this, I am the light of the world, John chapter 8. After the service, the little girl made her way up to the pastor and she says, excuse me, sir, I have to ask you a question. Did you really say that you are the light of the world? The pastor kind of chuckled to himself and said, no, my dear girl, I'm only a light. Jesus is the light. She looked down and she says, oh, okay. I was really hoping that you could come and shine that light in my neighborhood. It's pretty dark there. You see, we as Christians are called to be light. We are called to expose darkness. Keep reading with me. For it is shameful to even speak of the things, in verse 12, that they do in secret. See, Paul was not going to go into details of sinful behaviors. It could be what was mentioned earlier in Ephesians. It didn't matter. He's not going to give credence and details and glorify sin. He's just saying it is shameful to even speak of what men and women do in secret. Verse number 13. But when anything is exposed to light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Darkness distorts. Patrick shared a couple of weeks ago about how dark rooms, you know, the kids can look in there and they think a lamp or they think a shirt hanging on the closet is a monster, right? So darkness distorts. You flip on the light, you see what it is. Not too long ago, Kara and I installed a set of gutters on a house. And we chose copper gutters. Fake copper gutters, but they were copper-colored gutters. And we thought it was going to be beautiful, all right? So we drove up at night, the day that these gutters were installed, and as our lights began to pan and shine and hit the house, we didn't have copper gutters, we had orange gutters. Now you have to understand, as a Gamecock fan, how just totally devastating it is to think that you installed orange gutters on your house, right? I'm already thinking about how much could I sell these for to try to replace them, right? We cannot have orange gutters on our Gamecock family's house. Luckily, when morning came and light shone, they weren't orange. They looked a little more like copper. Darkness distorts. Darkness distorts, but the light, the gospel, exposes our need for a Savior. You see, in verse number 11, when it talks about exposing sin and shining light on that sin, that purpose of that is so that that sin may become visible and people will understand what it is. They will take it at face value that sin is sin, and they're going to try to be convicted, is our prayer. Be convicted of that sin. Understanding the gravity, the weight of sin, and our need for a Savior. That's the purpose behind exposing and bringing something to the light. John chapter 3 in verse number 20 and 21, it says this: everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Those who are walking in darkness are afraid to come to the light because they don't want folks to see sin. But if we're walking in the light and we have nothing to hide and we're saying, God, I'm trying to live in a way that glorifies and honors you, guess what? I can walk in light. I can let light shine. When I go into an airport, I never have to worry about getting into one of those scanners and holding my hands up and letting it scan my body. I know I don't have anything strapped to my body. I know I'm not carrying a knife or carrying a gun. I don't have to worry that they may see what's on the inside, right? But if I'm walking in darkness, man, I don't want to see the light. If I'm walking in darkness, I don't want people asking me about my life. If I'm walking in darkness, I don't want to come to church. I don't want to stream on YouTube or to watch on Facebook, because those walking in darkness hate the light. Keep reading with me. For anything that becomes visible is light. In verse number 14, read these last few words. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There is a confession, or this is thought to be a confession or a song of the early church, that in this letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul would have included these words and the church would have understood them. I said earlier in our service this morning that it's kind of like if we were to write a letter and include the words like, you know, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, right? The church reading it would understand it, right? It was common confession. It was a common worship song. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Oh, what a call for the gospel, the good news. It's like Paul is saying here, awake, O sleeper, wake up to the Christian who is stumbling through life haphazardly. Wake up. If there's a brother and sister here or streaming who is walking and caught in sin, ensnared by sin, as it says in Hebrews, wake up. Romans chapter 13 says this, that the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us lay aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. To the unsaved world who is walking in darkness, to those who are dead men walking, to those who have never accepted the free gift of salvation, I think Paul is writing here, wake up. Wake up. You may ask, well, what is salvation? What is the gospel? It is the understanding that we must repent and be born again, like Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Repent and be born again. See, we must understand that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That idea of sin is this, that we have missed the mark. That there is a huge target at the back and I've tried to shoot an arrow and I'm a mile off. That's how my life is. See, God is holy, and no matter how good I try to live my life, I will never, ever, ever measure up. I will always miss the mark. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Death means we're eternally separated from God. We are in that darkness that is described earlier in verse number 7 and 8. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, salvation in Jesus Christ, is the free gift of God. If we will just confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says that we will be saved, that we will go from death to life, from darkness to light. Jesus came and lived a life that we can never live, a sinless life, a spotless life, with no sin, no blemish. He died a death that we deserved because it was our sin that put Him on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead, conquering death and sin, and one day He's going to come back again. That is the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe if Paul were here today, he would echo that same cry, wake up. If he could type in the comments of our YouTube, even right now, or our Facebook stream, even right now, he would type these words, wake up. This morning, if you're stumbling around, walking in darkness, God will give you light. Walk in the light. Maybe you're here and you are saved. Maybe you're watching on Facebook and you say, I have a relationship with God, but Pastor, I have been walking around stumbling. I haven't been living intentionally for God. I'm not killing sin. I feel like sin is killing me. Maybe this morning is your time to wake up. Repent of that and say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Maybe you're visiting with us and you want to become a part of the family of God here at Harmony. Maybe this morning is your time to wake up and do that. Maybe you've accepted God, but you've never been baptized in believer's baptism. Wake up. Whatever it is, my challenge for you this morning is to wake up and to walk in the light. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for the echoing cry of the gospel that Paul wrote. That, Lord, we understand that we are all sinners, lost, destined for hell. But, God, You sent Your Son that we may have life and have it more abundantly. This morning, I just pray, God, that we will wake up and that we will walk in the light. In Jesus' name, amen.